Welcome to City Club of Eugene's October 26, 2018 program, Hack for a Cause, a Good Cause, with Allison Weatherly, Stephen Parak, Alex Jeffrey, and Lynn Swartz. This is the eighth program of our 2018-2019 program a year. This event is being live streamed on our Facebook page. I'm Joel Corin, president of City Club, and I coordinated this program with Paul Thompson. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. We have both business and in-kind sponsors. Our diamond sponsors is Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente exists to provide high quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of our members and the communities we serve. The University of Oregon has also joined us as a diamond sponsor. Our sapphire sponsor is a member of the tech community, Palo Alto Software. For more than 20 years, Palo Alto has provided commitment to educating and empowering entrepreneurs and small businesses with their headquarters in Eugene. They are best known for LivePlan, a lean planning software. More information, paloalto.com. Over the past year and a half, I've had an opportunity to meet a number of members of the tech community in Eugene. They are young, active, interested citizens in Eugene. They care about this community and what we are and what we can become. You'll hear about a program today, Hack for a Cause, but I'd like to announce that again this year, TAO, the Technology Association of Oregon, will be one of the participants in the program we have for teachers, along with the Chamber and other sponsors, of the Lane County Economy, where teachers go into businesses and groups during the course of the year and learn what businesses need them to teach their students. Allison, who you will meet, we'll be shepherding, or schlepping, depending on your point of view, a number of these teachers all around the tech community in downtown Eugene. And we appreciate TAO and the others who participate in that program that has been going on for years. And let me introduce Allison, who will then introduce the other speakers in this Hack for a Cause program. Allison was drawn to Oregon 20 years ago with the enticing beauty of the coast, mountains, and waterfalls. After graduating with her master's in education, she taught elementary age students in traditional classroom settings and innovative online classrooms. It was a natural fit for Allison to start coordinating events and programs when she joined TAO in August of 2016, merging the tech and educational backgrounds. Allison has helped shape Elevate Lane program with TAO, showcasing career opportunities to students in Lane County. Her passion remains in education, focusing on raising her three young boys and an active leader in the two schools which they attend, keeping her family active in the beautiful outdoors. Allison will introduce the speakers and run the program, and then I'll be back to introduce our first speaker. Allison? Allison Weatherly.
Thank you, Joel. I'm honored to be here and a part of Technology Association of Oregon and the great programs that we run, like Hack for a Cause, which I'll be explaining, the Elevate program that Joel touched on that impacts thousands of students and teachers across Lane County, and a new program, Apprenti. It's a privilege to be in Eugene for the past 22 years. And I'm so excited to also introduce more of the wonderful community members that are here today to support Hack for a Cause. In just a few moments, you'll meet Stephen Parak, who is the COO of Access Media. You'll meet Lynn Swartz, the Executive Director of Parenting Now, which many of you know as Birth to Three, which I was a part of 10 years ago. And we have Alex Jeffrey, who was a student when I met him at the University of Oregon, and now an employee at one of our tech companies here in Eugene at Pipeworks. So thank you to the three of you who will be joining me in a few moments. So I'm here today to talk a little bit more about Hack for a Cause. We have had three successful Hack for a Cause events in Eugene, and we're just starting to plan our fourth. Our fourth is planned for April 5th, 6th, and 7th of 2019. We have a lot of momentum and energy behind this event after our 3 years of such wonderful impacts that we've had across the community, which again, you will learn a little bit about from these wonderful speakers in a few moments. Hack for a Cause, what is it? It's a weekend-long community event involving hundreds of people. Generally, a hackathon attracts developers who use their coding skills to create a project in a short period of time. This event includes more than just developers. It is organized to provide transformative benefit to many groups in our local area. While there's a big group of the professional developers from our tech community, there are also students from the universities, from LCC, from high schools, and even a middle school student participated last year. There are tech mentors on site that provide support to all of the groups of people that participate. They're developing new skills over the weekend as they challenge themselves to help develop these new creative solutions for people in need. There are graphic designers, project managers, artists, marketing specialists who also loan their time and their skills to these projects. So that's the hack, but what is the cause? Nonprofits and other organizations who are in need of some technical assistance apply to be one of the challenges. An application must be filled out, which is now open and available on hackforacause.org, to be a challenge worked on over the weekend. These applications describe their need for a creative, technical solution to a problem that they are currently experiencing. In the 3 years that Hack for a Cause has been happening, 25 different projects or challenges have been worked on. They've provided great benefits to the local organizations that include Whitebird, Parenting Now, Egan Warming Center, and the 15th Night. There are many more, and you can learn about them on our website for the testimonials and the different impacts that it's made on their organizations. There are more people involved in this event that make the weekend possible. Local businesses give financial support to make this happen. Local businesses donate meals, snacks, and supplies to keep everyone participating comfortable over the weekend. Volunteers are needed to help with registration, selling t-shirts, running errands, and staying on site to be sure that people have what they need. Remember, this is a 48-hour experience. People check in on a Friday evening and may not check out until Sunday afternoon. They stay the entire weekend. We do our best to try and accommodate our participants to make sure that they're comfortable because they are volunteering their time, their energy, and their skills to make a difference in people's lives. Hack for a Cause has a steering committee of 16 individuals that help put these details in place. While the Technology Association of Oregon started the event and is responsible for many of the pieces, it is the committee who includes developers, tech experts, and leaders, and those who are passionate for this project to make it all run smoothly. The team spends many hours on the applications that come in and select the best challenges to be worked on. When the applications are selected, more work has gone into helping get these organizations ready for the weekend, how they can best prepare so that they can ensure success after the weekend. Judges are recruited to be on site during the weekend to see the work and the impact that can be made with each particular challenge. So as you can tell, much time and thought goes into planning for this portion of the event, and that it simply would not happen if it were not for the amazing people on our steering committee. So Hack for a Cause is scheduled for April 6th, 7th, and 8th of 2019. Applications to be a project are now being accepted on hackforacause.org. Registration will be open to those who want to participate, and sponsorship opportunities are available to help support the various aspects that are needed to make this weekend a success. I want to express the opportunity that this event really creates and poses for so many groups of people in our community. Our community here in the local Eugene and Springfield area cares. So many local people are generous, supportive, and civic-minded. It's a chance for professionals to give back to the causes that they care about. It is a chance for the people to learn new skills. And it's an opportunity for people to meet others, to network, to grow, and to create more opportunities to enhance their own personal life as they continue to live and grow here in Eugene, but to give back to hundreds, thousands of families and individuals who live in our area. What happens after the hack? There's a lot of variety in what happens after the weekend. In many cases, the prototypes have been created, but they may not be ready for implementation. In some cases, they are. In a few cases, the projects completed are just ready to go. In other cases, more work needs to be done, and work continues between the teams and the organizations that need the help. In other cases, the team can just walk away with their prize money, but leave the work in an open format for others to continue it to be a viable product. We work with other professionals in our community, specifically people at Eugene Tech, so they can help bring this piece together in a more cohesive way, providing the tools, resources, and talent, because Eugene certainly has a lot of talent, to ensure the success of the projects and the needs for these to continue. So I'm really excited to introduce Alex Jeffrey, who started as a student a few years ago on a winning team that won two projects and is now a professional that won an additional project last year. And he'll tell you more about what it's like to be a participant.
Well, thank you, Allison, for that introduction. So I'm here today to kind of talk about the participant perspective on Hack for a Cause. And both as a student, as I was my first Hack for a Cause, and as a downtown professional, as I was this year. So about a year and a half ago, I was a senior at the University of Oregon, and I was kind of getting my feet wet in the professional world. I was looking for a job. I was looking for ways to network downtown. And so Hack for a Cause was, to me, an opportunity to do all of those things in one fell swoop. So I went there my first year. I didn't know anybody going into the event, and so that was a little scary, I suppose. But as soon as I walked through those doors, I saw this wealth of Eugene talent, both students and professionals in the downtown area. And it was really exciting to me, and the meals were all mapped out for the weekend, so I didn't have to worry about that sort of thing. So really, your entire focus was able to be put into the work you were doing that weekend. So I walk into the event, and I see this table of four young gentlemen, a couple of whom I had recognized from my classes at the university. And so I approached them, I introduced myself, and I said, hey, do you guys need a helping hand? And they were more than willing to have another developer on the team. So it was very easily, like, before the event even started, I already had a group that I was going to be working with who were all very smart people from the university. And that was exciting to me. I had done one hackathon in the past, so this was my second one. And it was really cool to be able to participate in the community like this. And this hackathon was special as well because you're competing with these challenges that benefit the community. So all the while you're benefiting yourself, you're networking with other people, you're creating a cohesive project with your teammates, you're also creating a product that benefits the community. And that feels really good over the course of the weekend. So that was really nice to have. So we're listening to the challenges, and there are two that kind of pique our interest as a group, and we're discussing them. And at the end of the presentation of the challenges, we discuss, and we're like, okay, let's combat these two. And what was cool about the weekend was I didn't just have a developer hat on. I also kind of had a business hat on. I was there for marketing and, of course, getting my feet wet in the professional community, but also it was my first real step into a like client relationship because the people who put on the challenges were essentially the clients. And so I was able to talk with them, really suss out what they wanted out of the project, where they saw the project going, who the audience was for the products that we were going to be producing. And that was a really cool thing for me to get to experience, because I did not have that during my entire academic experience. So that was a really cool thing that I got to have as a student. So we did the entire thing at the hackathon. We were there for, I think, 48 hours. There were some long nights, but it was OK. In the end, we put on our presentation. We presented our apps. And I remember afterwards, there was a professor of mine in the audience who I didn't know was there. And he's one of the tough-as-nails professors at the university. And he came up to our group. And he said that he was really impressed with our presentation. And this just baffled me, because his classes were very difficult. He was clearly a very intelligent professor. And yet he was impressed by the work we did over the weekend. And so that spoke to me as something that was really cool. We were able to apply the things we had learned in class and make this actual product that benefits the community. And I impressed one of my professors, who I really respect. So that was pretty cool to me. Walked away from that hackathon after winning two prizes as a student. Any prize money you can win is, you know, great. And so next year, I was very motivated to come back and do the event again. And it just so happened that the people that I had met at that hackathon, I stayed friends with the entire time. And so I contacted all of them the next year, and we came back as a cohesive team the following year. We were all, by coincidence, all professionals downtown at that point. Don't know if there's any kind of connection you can make there, but. So it was really exciting to come there for the second time, because the event, I think, maybe doubled in size, or had a huge increase in the number of people that attended the event the second year. So it was a much more competitive environment, but it was really nice to be able to work with my team for the second time. We decided to take on one challenge this year, and we just put our all into that project. We invested a lot of time talking to the people that put on the challenge. We put a lot of time into the design. And that really spoke to me about how you don't need to be a developer to participate in this hackathon culture. Like, you can be somebody who's an artist. We had an artist on our team. We had people who were very design-minded and helped us organize the project from the very get-go. And so it was nice to be able to wear a variety of hats and kind of rely on other people's skill sets, not just developers, to see our project really go forward. So I would definitely recommend to anybody in the community who's sitting here or watching this live stream that you take a look at the Hack for a Cause website. Sign up if you're interested. It's a great opportunity to network downtown, and maybe I'll see you there next year. So thank you.
Thank you, Alex. I got to learn a few new things. I did not realize that they didn't know each other as they started that team 2 years ago, and the relationships and the success they've had. It's great to hear, so thank you. So now I'd like to introduce Lynn Swartz, the Executive Director of Parenting Now, to tell about her experience as she was a participant last year. Thank you, Lynn.
Well, hi, and first of all, thank you to City Club, thank you to Technology Association of Oregon, and thanks to Hack for a Cause. And Matt was also one of those, Matt Sayer is here, he's one of the major movers and shakers in that. And so I'm here to talk about what it was like to have a problem in need of solution and what that experience was like as a nonprofit. So I'm going to just kind of go through the story of how that worked. We heard about the Hack for a Cause program and that they were looking for problems and challenges. And I'll explain about Parenting Now, we have lots of ideas and lots of opportunities that are very difficult to fund. So Parenting Now does parenting education support and education. And what we do is we have groups for any parent out there. We focus on the years 0 to 8 years old. And as all of you know who are parents and as past children, parenting is really hard work. and nobody knows the exact right way to do it. Nobody knows what they're going to get or what challenges they might experience. And so having support and networks and information is a really useful thing. And that it, that applies to the family that's doing pretty good, but just really wants to make sure that they're really helping their child to thrive, or they're looking for networks of friends and so forth, to the families who are really having a hard time and dealing with some really significant issues. So we do our programs in groups. And so all of our programs are group-based programs that go for about 12 weeks. And so we get families, around 20 families per group, that meet at different ages or different stages for about 12 weeks, depending on what kind of group they're in. And so we've got a staff of fabulous parenting educators who are putting these groups together and meeting with everybody every week. They're putting together all sorts of documentation and attendance and handouts and all this kind of stuff. And what we found was it was really difficult and time-consuming for us to prepare all of those pieces of material. And then also part of it was the recaps that they did after each group, and trying to get those recaps from the parenting educators was sometimes hard. We do groups at our Parenting Now offices over at 86 Centennial Loop, but we also do groups all over town, and some of those parenting educators were in Cottage Grove, and they were trying to figure out how they were getting all these papers together. It was very, very clunky. So when we heard about this challenge, we thought, okay, this was one of our big problems, because it was hard to get the data back from the parenting educators. It was very time-consuming to try and put all that together for each group and so forth. And we thought, well, maybe there could be something that goes beyond, you know, snail mail and email. Let's do some kind of a cloud-based or an online-based kind of intervention. And so that was one of our challenges that we put out. We put out other ones too, because we weren't really sure. We wanted something that was going to be really actionable, something that we were really going to get something out of at the end. But we really didn't know what the solution might be. And so we filled out the applications. It was easy to do. We didn't need to know what the answer was to talk about what the problem was. And so we put it in, and then we waited not very long. I think it was only a week or two. And then we were contacted by Stephen Perrick and also Megan, I can't remember her last name right now, to come and say, okay, we want to know a little bit more about what your challenges are. And so they came in and they talked to us about what we were thinking about and helped us clarify what we really needed. Because, you know, when you have an issue like that, you kind of have this vague, fix it kind of thing and not really know how to do that. They helped us define it down so it became this really crystal clear kind of approach without actually solving the problem, because that is the developer's, that's their role when the hack starts. So it helped us really define what we really were looking for. So after we did that, it was a day later, and we were told, hey, your challenge was selected. And which one it was the parenting educator forms and all the rest of that, and making that online piece. So that was really great. So we were thrilled. It's hard for us to find funding for things like this, this kind of technology solution. And this was like, wow, you guys are going to do this for free? That was awesome. So then the next part of this then was around getting the word out about what our issue and challenge was, and helping recruit and find other developers who might be interested. And there are a lot of those developers who are Birth to Three and Parenting Now families who already knew about us, so it was really right on our demographic. But it meant that we got to go out and talk to people about what we do. There was a video made about us that was put up on the website, and it ended up being really fabulous marketing for us, which I didn't really anticipate, but we got to talk to a lot of people, and that was really helpful. The other thing I wanted to mention also was that we got a really fun live Facebook feed with Rick Dancer, too, so we got to be out there being cool. It was really fun. So then the hack started. So first of all, I was like, oh man, am I gonna have to be awake for 48 hours? And I know I can't do that. I've never been able to do that. And we were talking about tag teaming with other staff and all the rest of that. That was a little bit intimidating. It wasn't like that at all. We walked into the room and it was just like what Alex said. There was so much energy and positivity and interest that it was obvious that we were somewhere special working with really great people. And so what we did is we presented about the challenge, and then different developers came to us, teams came to us, and started talking about, they had basically chosen us and they wanted to know more, how are they going to be able to give us something that we really needed. We had a lot of interesting conversations with different people. There were some stories and ideas that I did not have any idea how to evaluate, right? I was not in my wheelhouse, that level of tech competence. And so as these teams kept working with us and asking us more questions and showing us different pieces, it became obvious to me that I didn't know how I was going to make any kind of selection in this at all. And that's where the judges came in. And so it was so reassuring from our standpoint. You know, the worst thing you can think of is to waste someone's time with this kind of stuff, right? And the judges were able to look through all of the plans and project ideas that were out there and help us choose the one, and they indeed chose, but they helped select something that was really actionable. And so what we ended up with was I'm going to always screw up the name, Quad Massive. Josiah Young was the one whose project was selected for us, and he created something super simple. It was technology we already had, and that meant that out of the gate, it took him 5 hours to come to us at the end, and it's going now, and we've got this lovely online system for our parenting educators. We're getting the data that we need. It's coming together faster. It's coming together more inexpensively, which is really important to us because that's part of, you know, shepherding and taking care of the donations that come into us, is to do a good job with how we shepherd that. So it was a really great experience. We're looking forward to doing it again. Like I said, thank you so much to Hack for a Cause and TAO and all those people who are working so hard to do something for a little nonprofit like us. So thank you.
Hello. So my name is Stephen Perrick. I'm with XS Media. And my involvement with Hack for a Cause is both as a sponsor and also as a member of the steering committee. So I wanted to start off by talking about how this all started. So I'm one of the people that have been involved in this event from the very beginning. I think it was maybe at the Barn Light. Matt Sayer had a meeting with me and he said, what do you think about this civic hackathon idea? And I went, okay, that sounds awesome, but how do you pull something like that off? You've got to get engagement from nonprofits. You've got to get mentors. You've got to get sponsors. You've got to get a space. You've got to get food. You hope. Everybody has that nightmare, right, where you put on this huge event, and then you just kind of hope people show up. You hope that every challenge is represented. And I'm thankful to say that so far, through 3 years, we've had every challenge be represented by groups who have been working on projects. And it's really been just a tremendous experience. And that first year was really trying. We learned a ton of things, and it's evolved to what it is now. With the full steering committee, that has a number of subcommittees. I'm just going to name a few. We have a finance and budget committee. We have a group that's in charge of sponsorships. The space for the event. Challenge selection. Judge recruitment. Video and marketing. Outreach. And it's just a ton of work. So we meet monthly. We do it 12 months out of the year. So every month. We meet for about an hour and a half, and that's just a formal meeting, and then we split up into our subcommittees and have several other meetings, and this is really a year-round process to make work. So why is this event so important? We've heard from some other people, but you know, from my perspective, as someone who runs a company here in town, there's not very many events where you can pull together students and professionals and just do-gooders, right? Like there are people in the community who just like to do good things and bring their talent to something and say, yeah, let's just make cool things happen, right? We don't exactly know what those cool things are. They develop throughout the weekend. artists, students, professionals, marketing people, developers, coders, software engineers, just people with good ideas. They all come together and there's this buzz and energy in the room that you can't really articulate. And I personally, as somebody who doesn't, I have no coding skills, no hacking skills. I pretty much just sit there and I feed off of the energy in the room and I see if anybody needs help and support through the weekend. You've got these people who are spending their time away from their homes or their families or their things. It's a weekend. It's the week after spring break, generally. And, you know, they're investing their time in this project, in this community, and how can you not be excited by that, right? They're just donating all this time, and I sit there and think as a business professional, if there are so many people, you know, 200 people coming into a room to do good in our community, how would I as a business owner not want to participate in that, and how can I not give my all to that? So I'm there to support them, not just financially, but also with my time on the steering committee and also just being there through the weekend. And anything they need. You need an extension cord? We'll find you an extension cord. You need some orange juice? Let's go find some orange juice. We'll make it happen. And there are a number of us that are like that over the weekend. So this is my fourth Hack for a Cause. Access Media's initial involvement was in infrastructure. So you can imagine that you've got all of these people in the room, they're kind of coming up with some tech ideas, and oh yeah, we might want some internet. And that's where we came in. So we provided high-speed internet infrastructure, the wireless access points, so that everybody had everything that they needed. There were some really cool projects that came out of that first year. There was a wayfinding kiosk type of thing that somebody brought in a giant touchscreen TV for the weekend, and that wasn't really, you know, we didn't know if we needed that, but we found one, and you know, they were able to kind of say, like, where's a restaurant? Oh, I think it's here, and it was great. But, you know, you need infrastructure for that, and so we kind of worked really hard, and our company worked really hard to bring that in. And then things have evolved throughout that, and now, you know, we have this downtown fiber infrastructure that has provided gigabit service to a number of the businesses downtown and has made delivering that infrastructure to events like this much easier. So my role last year in the steering committee evolved a little bit. Lynn already mentioned it once, but I was involved in the steering committee choosing challenges, and Parenting Now was one of the challenges that I felt personally connected to as somebody who's been through Parenting Now with two kids, a six-year-old and a four-year-old now. Thank you for all the work you do. It's very helpful. it's really nice. But, you know, we got this challenge from Lynn, and I think one of the important things to note is we get a bunch of challenge submissions. I think last year we had 30-something. And, you know, it can be, I would think from a nonprofit perspective, it can be kind of intimidating to think about your needs and think about how you would submit a challenge. But it's really important to know that the steering committee is here for you. We see those challenges. They may not be perfect, but we want to reach out to you and help you refine the process and find exactly what your pain point is and where the tech community can help out and if it's a viable challenge. And so I would encourage all of the nonprofits or people who are interested in making things happen. And frankly, you don't have to be a nonprofit. We've had several submissions who aren't nonprofits. But if you feel like you need some help, make a submission. The steering committee will take a look at that and help refine it and help work with you on it and see if it's a viable solution, and we'll work to see if we can bring that into our event. Last year, I think we did 10 challenges. This year, I think we're looking at a little fewer than that, but we're really hoping to get a wide support from all different industries, education and others. So I just really wanted to drive home that this event is an amazing event with lots of people in the room who are passionate. They care deeply about what they're doing. They're giving up their entire weekend, often with very little sleep. Everybody is well taken care of by sponsors, but we could always use more. Some things that sponsors help with, not just money. Money is the first thing people come to mind, but also food. We have to provide food throughout the entire weekend for people. Snacks are really important. The tech community loves their snacks. preferably healthy ones, but you know, sometimes there's some other stuff. There's in-kind donations, like our infrastructure that we were talking about. There are things like lanyards and t-shirts and swag, so tech community loves their stickers and buttons. So those sort of things as well, and really any help that we can get, it would be great. So thank you, everybody, and I hope you got a lot of good information about Hack for a Cause.
The first questioner today is John Reese, the Eugene City Administrator. John has been in Eugene since April 2008, working with the city staff, counselors, and community members. I saw him this morning in front of the Local Government Affairs Committee of the Chamber, taking on questions from members of the business community about a new city project. John brings 20 years of municipal government to this position. He has an MBA from the University of Colorado, attended the Harvard University John F. Kennedy School of Government Senior Executives Program in 1999. He's a retired U.S. Army colonel and received a master's in strategic studies at the U.S. Army War College, where I went to college, and not at the War College, in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Most recently, he served as one of the two assistant managers. Before coming here, he served as an assistant manager in Fresno, California. But he's not here as city manager today. He's here as a representative of a group who was helped by Hack for a Cause called 15th Night.
Thank you, Joel. And I am representing really the 15th Night this afternoon, because the 15th Night was a part of that first Hack for a Cause 3 years ago. And some of you may know that 15th Night is really all about keeping kids in school, keeping them off the street, and if they do happen to go onto the street, get them back off the street as soon as possible. 15th Night actually represents a statistic that says that youth that are on the street for more than 14 consecutive nights, there's a significant chance that they'll become chronically homeless. And this is an acute issue for us. Right now in 4J and Bethel school districts, there are over 1,500 homeless youth students, and about 350 of them are unaccompanied, means that they're couch surfing or they're living some on the street or some in tents or some in cars. And so it's a significant issue. During that first Hack for a Cause, we asked them to try to employ technology as a way to really connect service providers and people that could help support these students with the services that they need. And out of that, Hack for a Cause became our Rapid Access Network, or RAN, which now has 30 to 35 providers on the other side. So when advocates send out an alert, it gets responded to sometimes within minutes as a way to help keep the students in school. And we're actually moving towards RAN 3.0. So that's my involvement with Hack for a Cause. It's a fabulous cause. So here's my first question to you. When you look back in 10 years, what cause will have been hacked that will have made a transformative difference in our community? So what cause and why? That's addressed to all of you, yes.
I'll go ahead and answer in a short way that I think that it's going to have a huge impact, because I've already seen the impact. From that first year, which I was not a part of, that ran the Rapid Access Network that was developed in the first year had a huge impact on many of our local youth. And one brave young teenager came up on our second Hack for a Cause and gave a speech on what that did for her. So I can't imagine in 10 years, as we've seen and heard stories of her already, continue to grow and thrive in our community, now that she's had the resources, what will she, in 10 years, for her to look back on and to see the opportunity that just in 48 hours that was developed to help her find the resources, and what she'll be doing in 10 years, that just is very profound. And I'm really excited that that happened in our first year, and we worked on it in our third year to make sure it was updated, because we all know technology changes very quickly, and knowing that it's going to continue to succeed.
Well, parenting is kind of virtual, right? You can't be virtual with parenting. It's a hands-on thing. And I think there's lots to be said for, to look into the future. I think there's different ways to reach families, and I'd love to think of it as ways to reach everybody, or that families can access each other and get support without having to go somewhere sometimes. But there's a lot about parenting that's just so hands-on. It's technology supports that, but isn't always the complete answer for me.
So this year, a challenge that our team did was the mural wayfinding challenge, which was a project spurred by a lot of murals that were recently done in the downtown area. And in lieu of the 2021 outdoor track championships that are going to be happening in the future, we wanted a way for people who might be interested in coming to Eugene and learning a little bit more about the culture here to have a means to do so. And so the mural wayfinding app that we did allowed you to very easily look at a map of downtown Eugene, see information about the murals. You get to see the artist biographies. You get to see their Instagram pages of the people who painted these murals, took time and painted these murals. And they all come from very diverse backgrounds, but they all came to Eugene to make our downtown a little more beautiful. So in 2021, if this project continues going forward, we might have a means of doing that, not even just for murals, but with downtown events, with other community things that are being put on, like the downtown art walk and things like that. So it could potentially, any of the hacks, any of the challenges that are completed over the weekend have the ability to grow into something that is used by the community.
Thank you. Steve?
So I would say another really good challenge was the Egan Warming Center. So you have individuals who go to the warming centers, but they're not sure if there are beds available. And moreover, what used to happen was that they'd pick up the phone and they'd call the other locations to see if they had beds available. And now this is all automated through an app. And so when somebody arrives, they can look and see what the resources are across the community and direct them to the right place and check them in early. So I'm going to check them in at this facility while they wait to get to the other one, so they know there's a bed waiting for them. And I think, you know, zooming out to answer your question, I look at, you've got 200 students and professionals who are donating 48 hours of their time. And what is the dollar value that is attached to that? And you stretch that out over 10 years or 13 years. I guess if we're going to look back 10 years from now, you look back 13 years and you say that is a tremendous amount of resources that people have invested. And we'll sit back and we'll look at all of the things like Egan Warming Center and 15th Night and Parenting Now and all of the other challenges that have been supported and say that the tech community has really stepped up to make a difference in this community in a positive way that may not have been done otherwise. So all of these organizations that are benefiting are resource constrained. And I would say that is the legacy of Hack for a Cause.
Thank you. Remember in my introduction when I said that these are good people? Well, they are. We'll now take 5 minutes at the tables to determine questions. Anybody can help formulate a question, but only City Club members can ask a question. But they're pretty easy. They'll ask your question if you ask nice. So take five, folks, and we'll come back with questions from the audience. Thank you.
You're listening to KLCC, informing and inspiring listeners for more than a half century. Broadcasting in HD at KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College.
We're back, ready for questions from the audience, and also live stream questions that have been sent in to us. Ruth?
Ruth Demler. My question today is about foster children. So often a foster child has a struggle going through school, and so they're behind and they turn 18 when maybe they're a junior and their funding stops. And I was wondering if anything can be done to make sure that they get the assistance they need to stay in school. I've known of several children who've had this happen.
Anybody feel comfortable answering that question?
I'll try. Since we focus on really young children, there is that really kind of bad spot there, as you mentioned there, for kids who are moving too old for foster care. And I know there's been a lot of efforts in town looking for ways to bridge that gap. It's not something our agency deals with specifically, but I know there's work, and United Way in particular has done some work that way too. So I would just say stay tuned. I know that people are very concerned about it and are looking into that.
And Ruth, if I may, I know that from my CASA experience that there are programs to get kids ready for being on their own. There are programs to teach them all the things that they have to do to be out on their own. I don't believe that's necessarily true. I think there are ways to keep them in. Avi?
Avi Naiman. This is a wonderful program. It brings together creativity, innovation, team building, and social responsibility, helping the good. All wonderful elements. But it only happens once a year. And these elements are elements that have been identified by people like Tony Wagner and Ted Dintersmith, authors of Creating Innovators and What Our Schools Could Be, as missing elements from how we're educating our children. So my question to you is, how do we make this not a once a year event, but how do we bring the same elements that make this so powerful and useful into our educational system to prepare our kids for a world where this is what they're going to have to do every day, not the content knowledge of 100 years ago, but team building, creative, innovative, social responsible projects?
I think that is a good point. And I think what we're doing right now is being good role models for our children. I have three young boys that I bring in each year to this weekend-long event so that they can see the different people that come together to provide the benefits and make an impact. So just by simply being a role model as a coordinator of this event and working with a variety of people shows my own children that there is a way for them to participate in their future.
I also want to add that the Technology Association of Oregon is trying to do a lot of work around exactly what you're talking about. So, this event is a culmination of bringing a lot of people together, and it takes a lot of work and coordination. So I think that the event should continue to happen on an annual basis, but you've got programs like Elevate, right, which are bringing educators into businesses to help learn and expand their CTE skills so that they can then take that into the classroom and apply a lot of industry knowledge to their classrooms. And there are multiple examples of things that TAO and Lane STEM and Lane ESD and other organizations are doing to really bring that exact thing that you're talking about into the classroom. So I'd encourage you to take a look at some of the efforts that TAO and Lane STEM are working on.
Steve, I'd ask you to stay there because we have a question from our live stream audience.
Okay.
If a nonprofit wanted to participate in Hack for a Cause, who would they contact?
It's our website, and our website is hackforacause.org, and is it the number four?
No.
It's
hackforacause.org. It's all of the words spelled out, and there is a submission button right there in the middle for you to apply, and it will lead you to a page to answer several questions. There's also buttons that you can do for sponsoring, for contacting, for questions, and that would be me, Allison Weatherly, at techoregon.org for any kind of questions or feedback that you might need along the way.
Mike?
Mike Rose, and my question is from the table. We got an insight to some of the networking programs that have already been developed out of the experience. Now, could you give me more specific and examples of the range of problems being addressed and the use of the computers to do that?
So one that comes to mind is the Whitebird Clinic. I know a lot of you are familiar with that clinic that's downtown and all of the different populations that it serves. There is a huge book that looks like a 3-inch white pages book listing all of the different resources that people can contact. The population that needs those resources generally are not going to turn to a book. So fortunately, last year, the White Bird Clinic was one of the challenges that that submitted the need. And we were able to help them turn to an online format of getting those resources by someone just picking up a phone and being able to use a smart device and able to find a resource rather than turning to something that was printed. That is one. Another one I want to touch on is the need for helping our foster children. Family for Every Child was an organization 2 years ago that came to us. Families that want to be a foster family were able to go online and start to fill out some forms or print the forms. And if they were to start filling out the forms online, it would time out and erase all of the information. So our groups were able to, there were teams that helped tackle that problem so that there could be an online way of someone that was ready to accept a foster child, that they could do it quickly online, and that that information would be saved if they were then interrupted and needed to walk away from their computer. So those are just two examples that I can think of that just went from that paper, kind of old school archaic way of doing things to make it more real time and something that is quick and instant.
Matt?
Matt Sayer, newest City Club member. The question from our table was, you know, we live in a world with lots of challenges, and, you know, looking ahead with the next event happening in about 5 months from now, what type of challenges do you think technology might be able to lend a hand to here locally that would create a solution that might be able to scale nationally? So what problems do you guys see locally that have sort of caught your attention that technology might be able to be part of the solution?
So with my experience so far, I've kind of seen some themes across various challenges that could definitely be applied to organizations that are looking for the kinds of solutions that we've heard solved by Hack for a Cause. A lot of what I've seen are businesses that have some kind of documentation that they're looking to get into a virtual format so it's easily accessible. So having people be able to have a database that has that information converted to it so that it's readily accessible by anybody at anywhere. Another one would be different forms, like sometimes, like the foster parent one was an example where there was a form that was needed to be filled out with information. So there are some reoccurring themes that I see across challenges that if we had a more general solution come out of any of these challenges could be applied nationally for many businesses, yeah.
Lynn, I have one question from our live stream audience. How do Children and Parenting Now programs use the technology that the hack created?
Well, the children don't use it at all. It's for the parenting educators. So the children, which are, you know,
babies.
Yeah, babies often are doing their own thing. This is really just an admin support.
Okay, Bob?
Bob Cassidy, City Club member. As a practical solution, I'm on the membership committee of City Club. City Club is a nonprofit. We're looking for how to maintain and attract membership. Is that the kind of thing that this group would tackle?
Well, I think from us being here today, you know, we're promoting a City Club in a unique way, and all of the people that are in favor of Hack for a Cause or have been participants or want to be a part of it will use City Club and maybe learn a little bit more about it to become members and a part of it.
I would say if there's a technology piece that needs to be solved, I would recommend submitting your idea or what your challenge is. And one of the great things about submitting a challenge is you don't need to know what the solution is. There are tons of creative people who have ideas, and oftentimes you'll see 3, 4, 5 different groups all hacking on a same challenge, and they have very divergent ideas on how that challenge should be solved. And so my recommendation to you or any other organization that has similar ideas is just submit your challenge. There is a refinement process where the steering committee will come back to you and really understand what you're needing and then try to figure out how technology can solve that piece. And then once we've got your challenge clarified, that's when it goes to the whole group for selection. So I would encourage you and any other group in your position to apply.
Well, Did I understand, Matt, you just say that you're the newest City Club member?
Yeah, that counts, right?
But, and I think that all members of the tech community should follow Matt's lead. We have our desk open in the back. One last question.
I'm Sue Walling, City Club member, and I was just looking at your webpage, and I noticed a challenge that I have heard of, and I don't believe the solution has ever been put into effect, but perhaps it has, I don't know. And that was the one on about food waste. And so the idea was to try to connect people who have excess food, whether it's restaurants or school cafeterias or grocery stores, with people who can use that food, you know, rather immediately. And so I was wondering, just in the narrow sense, do you know what the status of that solution is? And then broadly, is there any pattern to when a tech solution is proposed, but then for one reason or another, it doesn't end up being implemented by the, are there any obstacles to those solutions being implemented?
Allison, if you can answer in less than a minute.
Okay, I'll do my best. Michael over at the City of Eugene that proposed that idea to help the food waste, that is being worked on. There are some challenges in how to make that work because there's so many different regulations of how food can be used again. But he has been in contact of saying that it is coming, and he is in touch with the team. And those are things that each of the challenges faced. How much funding is available after? We're able to provide some prizes for the teams there and the teams can walk away with and maybe be done. But if there's more funding available that can entice the teams to stay on that project or knowing that there's funding out there from another source for that organization to then look for other people to continue that project. Because there are a lot of things that we do need in our community. And maybe it is an education, maybe it spurs from another idea that has come up recently, like with Elevate or Connected Lane County that are trying to help our youth. Maybe it's a challenge that has already been served on Hack for a Cause, but needs to be visited again because we can see a different pathway to success. And that is the important thing that we are all capitalizing on as a team to plan for the next Hack for a Cause and as a community and for those that can come together and submit challenges and submit their time and their skills to make a huge impact in our community.
Thank you. Before we end, we'd like to thank our gold sponsors, Banner Bank, Jerry Detailm, architect and landscape architect, Dr. Sandy Ybarra, Hearing Associates, and special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, Dot Dots and Photography, KRVM 91.9 Radio, and KLCC 89.7 that broadcasts City Club programs on Monday night. Next week, November 2nd, Senator Ron Wyden will be here to discuss on the Friday before Election Day to discuss election security and the WAVE Act that he has introduced. On December 14th, we will be having gifts to the city. If you are aware of someone who you think would provide a verbal gift to the city that we should consider, please let one of the members of the board who is here or go to our website and under the Suggest a Program, get involved, Suggest a Program guidelines, fill out the name of the person who would be a good gifter. More details about membership at cityclubofeugene.org. Let's thank our speakers today. Allison Weatherly, Stephen Perak, Alex Jeffrey, Lynn Swartz, and John Reese. Thank you. That concludes today's program.